This is the Daily Update and the Daily Calendar for Wednesday, March 21st, 2018. The suspect in a string of bombings in Austin, Texas is dead. Interim Austin Police Chief Brian Manley confirmed early Wednesday. Police did not name the bomber, but two law enforcement sources familiar with the investigation identified him to NBC News as Mark Anthony Condit, 23 years old. Although police are still investigating the possibility of accomplices, he said, "We believe this individual is responsible for all of the incidents in Austin." Manley urged the community to remain vigilant for possible other explosives, adding that, "We don't know where the suspect had been in the last 24 hours. Police have not identified a motive for the string of bombings. Investigators identified several leads, but the case really broke in the past 24 to 36 hours, the chief said. He described how authorities tracked down the suspect's vehicle to a Round Rock area hotel. Police began following the suspect's vehicle, and as SWAT approached, the suspect detonated a bomb in the car. Manley said an officer had fired at the suspect, and another officer who was knocked back by the blast was treated for minor injuries. Fred Milanowski, special agent in charge with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives, said authorities knew when he bought some of the components. It was fairly recent. Fortunately, we were able to do some digging and find this individual over the past 48 hours, Milanowski said. He described the device used in the car as a significant explosive device, but did not provide any other details. Milanowski said the suspect was in the parking lot of the hotel, which had been swept by technicians and bomb detection dogs. "We are fairly comfortable. There is no threat out there in the open," but it did not confirm whether the suspect was staying at the hotel. Milanowski also commended the collaboration among all law enforcement elements involved. "Everyone was dedicated. There were people that were working 17 hours a day because they wanted to catch this person." Four bombs had exploded in Austin since March 2nd, killing two men and injuring four people. A fifth bomb exploded early Tuesday at a FedEx sorting facility in Schertz, about 60 miles southwest of Austin. A package containing what was believed to be an unexploded bomb was found Tuesday at a FedEx distribution center in Austin. So, great police work. I said that they were going to catch him. They had forensics in that unexploded package. They had video evidence. They were able to obtain description of a car, the suspect, even though he was wearing a wig, the whole bit. So you really have to applaud those people who did that great work, and a lot of sleepless nights for a lot of them. But still, like they said, you have to be vigilant about looking for suspicious packages. You can think about copycat bombers, things like that, but just be aware, but also be thankful for that law enforcement. So, three illegal immigrants who avoided capture after Oakland Mayor Libby Schaaf blew the whistle on a raid by federal immigration authorities last month have been since rearrested for new crimes, including robbery and spousal abuse, ICE officials said. Schaaf tweeted out a warning ahead of the raid in Northern California last month, infuriating Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials and the Trump administration. "How dare you," Attorney General Jeff Sessions said in California earlier this month, addressing Schaaf. "How dare you needlessly endanger the lives of our law enforcement officers to promote a radical open borders agenda?" ICE officials eventually caught 232 illegal immigrants, many of them criminals, in the four-day sweep, but said that hundreds more escaped because of Schaaf's warning. But on Tuesday, officials said that at least three of those who were targeted in the raid but were not apprehended has since been arrested for additional crimes. One was a Mexican national arrested for robbery and gun crimes who was released back into the community for a prior offense despite an ICE detainer request in November. Another Mexican national was arrested for a DUI despite having been deported three times and prior convictions for false imprisonment, DUI, and battery of a spouse. The third was a Mexican national who was arrested for corporal injury of a spouse despite being deported twice and criminal convictions including drug possession, hit and run, DUI, possessions of narcotics equipment, and a parole violation. Acting ICE Director Tom Homan mentioned the three cases at a roundtable on sanctuary cities at the White House on Tuesday. He also expressed frustration at the mixed messages coming from politicians in sanctuary states. We are told on one hand to focus efforts on criminals, but those same folks who want to focus on criminals don't let us into the county jails. He said, it just defies logic. So you have a case where politicians are warning suspects, criminals. These are criminals. These are people who beat their wives. These are people who rob people. These are people who don't care about any of these laws because they're criminals. They just do what they do, and they're in our country, and they're creating victims while they're here. When did you ever hear about a politician warning criminals that the police were coming? Unbelievable that that's happening in our country, in our world. But they're going to keep going. They're going to keep getting them, arresting them, MS-13, the rest of them, and get them out to make streets safer. So you have to respect that, right? So one day after Orange County supervisors voted to spend more than $70 million to house the homeless, residents in three prosperous cities expressed alarm about a proposal to set up camp shelters in their communities. Besides creating permanent housing, the officials' plans call for possible camps in Irvine, Laguna Niguel, and Huntington Beach on county-owned land. The Irvine City Council voted unanimously late Tuesday to sue the county to stop the proposal. How does this solve the problem? Mayor Donald P. Wagner said during a special meeting he organized to respond to the county. The county's idea caused some residents to express anger, suggest other locations for the shelters, and to take digs at their much larger neighbor to the north, Los Angeles. This freaks me out. I moved to Orange County because I thought it would be a safe place. Now it's getting more and more like LA, said Rob Howard, an office manager in Irvine, who wants tons of traffic, high prices, and all kinds of unwanted people around you. So I want to cut in here. Unwanted people, really? And then isn't that the case? And here's California, all these people with all their big liberal talk about peace and love and all that and coexist. It means nothing because these people right here are hypocrites. Unwanted people, really? So Anne Huang, a computer programmer in Laguna Niguel, said, when we think of a homeless crisis, we think of an urban environment that's overcrowded and full of noise and chaos. You don't think of it happening in a place like Orange County. Huang added, I understand that we should be sensitive to needy people, but definitely I'm going to fight any kind of facility that's close to our towns and kids. Some Orange County residents say they supported moves to help the homeless as long as they were moved somewhere else. Not in my backyard, right? Finally, the county is taking action, doling out this kind of money, but they must understand that they can use this money to go buy land elsewhere, maybe the Inland Empire, to relocate the homeless, said Mark Smith, a Huntington Beach renter looking to buy a home near Pacific Coast Highway. We just can't lower our housing values with this population nearby. The Board of Supervisors vote is part of an effort to wrestle with a growing homeless problem in Orange County. After a rare federal court hearing Saturday, Orange County officials agreed to extend motel stays on a case-by-case basis to homeless people removed from encampments along the Santa Ana River. So what is this all about? This is about, I don't want them here. I don't want them in my backyard. And I can see some of their concerns. A lot of these homeless people are drug abusers. A lot of these homeless people are criminals, sure, but a lot of them aren't. And then you have to be able to help them get back on their feet, because if we are our brother's keeper, if we are Americans for each other, if we are on this earth looking out for each other, then that's what that means. And you need to help these people. So they have a step in the right direction. They're throwing some real money on it, but they need to be able to get the support of the citizens. And those people are being very angry, very selfish. This is the whole reason why there are homeless people out there to begin with, why they haven't gotten help years ago, why there's no transition centers available to them. 31% of the nation's welfare, the United States of America, goes directly to California while they have 12% of the public. So that means they have a lot of people on welfare and they're taking a lot of money from the rest of the country. But here they are, not in my backyard, move them somewhere else, put them somewhere else. Yeah, yeah, why don't you put them in Utah, you know, you can put them in Montana or something like that. They don't want them in their backyard, in their high-priced neighborhood. These are wealthy people. You can't even get housing in Orange County for under $500,000. Most of these houses are $1 million, $1.5 million and whatever. So it's really unbelievable that these people will wrap themselves with righteousness and at the same breath, they're going to get rid of the wretched and not give them any support or care. That's where our society is at right now. So with all that, we're going to celebrate the day today with your daily calendar. So today is World Poetry Day. So poetry reaffirms our common humanity by revealing to us that individuals everywhere in the world share similar questions and feelings. Poetry is the mainstay of oral tradition and over centuries can communicate with innermost values of diverse culture. In celebrating World Poetry Day, UNESCO, which is the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, recognizes the unique ability of poetry to capture the creative spirit of the human mind. A decision to proclaim the 21st of March as World Poetry Day was adopted during UNESCO's 30th session held in Paris in 1999. One of the main objectives of the day is to support linguistic diversity through poetic expression and to offer endangered languages the opportunity to be heard within their communities. The observance of World Poetry Day is also meant to encourage a return to the oral tradition of poetry recitals, to promote the teaching of poetry, to restore a dialogue between poetry and the other arts such as theater, dance, music, and painting, and to support small publishers and create an attractive image of poetry in the media. So, you know, back in the day, I used to do these things. They're called poetry slams. So you kind of got a little jazz band behind you. You're on a little stage in a little club. And then you say stuff like, butterfly, you don't want to die. Don't go near that volcano. Like stuff like that. So you can get into poetry in all kinds of ways. There's also poetry in motion and poetry in your feelings, poetry in your spiritualness, you know? So get that pad and pen, write out some poetry in your own language and share it with the world. Put a hashtag World Poetry Day on it and give it to people to read, right? And read other people's poetry too. So today's also Common Courtesy Day. So let's face it, common courtesy has never been as common as some people would have us believe. However, with every passing generation, the previous is certain that the common courtesy is just fading from the world altogether. Truly, the aged look back upon the past with rose-tinted glasses, and their vision is perhaps imperfect as a result. However, there is only one thing that can truly bring about the golden age of courtesy we all claim existed when I was your age, and that is the raising of awareness of common courtesy as a thing necessary to the world. Such is the reason that Common Courtesy Day came into existence, so that we can all spread the gospel of courtesy that we feel the world should contain. The day that we finally see common courtesy becoming truly common is the day that we exhibit it ourselves and thus pass it on as a concept to others. So you got to walk the walk. You got to talk. You're going to do it. It's that common courtesy. The definition of being a lady or a gentleman is making sure the people around you are comfortable, you know? So that common courtesy is a gift of kindness, right? And then that kindness will come back to you. Think about that on Common Courtesy Day and be courteous about it. Today is National French Bread Day. So French bread, also known as a baguette, is a long, thin loaf made from basic lean dough. It is defined by its length and its crisp crust. Over time, French law has established what is and what is not a baguette. Beginning in 1920, a labor law prevented bakers from starting their day before 4 a.m. Bakers adjusted by shaping their loaves of bread so they can bake more quickly and evenly. As a result, the long, narrow loaves were found to be convenient for slicing and storing. The French are known for their high standards where culinary arts are concerned. To preserve quality in their bread, laws were passed requiring minimum quantities of certain quality ingredients in each loaf of bread. Serve French bread warm, slathered with butter and a chunk of cheese on the side. Why not embrace the whole continental experience and have a glass of nice French wine with it, right? So go out and get that baguette or make the baguette. You know, it's actually really easy. I have a very simple bread recipe for French bread. And then the only difference between French bread and other bread, they put a little bit of lemon juice in there, and then it has that nice taste and nice flavor. So make your bread today or go out and get your baguette on. Today is also Single Parents Day. So most single parents didn't intend to be single parents when they started. Single parenthood usually comes about due to unfortunate and stressful events. Raising children, even with two parents, can be hard work. So take a moment to applaud those people who usually, through no fault of their own, are having to fly solo. So if you're a child of a single parent, use this day to show them how much you appreciate all of their hard work of playing those two roles. And you know, in our society, there's people out there that preach like, you know, it's okay to be a single parent and whatever. And, you know, they point to people who have been raised by a single parent. And I was raised by a single parent, but it's good to have both those parents. And we shouldn't shy away from the family. We shouldn't look away from that family structure, you know. And people should try as hard as they can to stay together, especially when kids are concerned. So today is also Memory Day. So you better celebrate the amazing gift of your memory before you forget and the day is over. You can try one of those online brain games to test your memory skills or devise your own test at work. Cover your eyes and try to remember all the items on your colleague's desk. Or what about trying to remember the lines from your favorite TV shows, theme songs from back when you were a child? On a more serious note, we all know how devastating Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia are to both its sufferers and their loved ones. Why not mark this day in a meaningful way by supporting one of the great charities that help in these areas? So as a kid, I used to love memory games. It was a lot of fun. And I think that more important these days, you have to try to remember people's phone numbers, you know, because everybody's got a cell phone and then you just hit the one button and it dials them. So a lot of people don't remember your phone number because it's already in their phone. So take the day to memorize some people's phone numbers, why don't you? So, today is also World Down Syndrome Day. So, Down syndrome has been observed in all races for thousands of years. Sadly, many infants with disabilities were either killed or abandoned in ancient times. However, quite a few historical pieces of art are believed to portray people and even angels with Down syndrome, including South American pottery dating back to 5th century AD, as well as some Renaissance paintings. Down syndrome was first characterized as a separate form of mental disability in 1862 by English physician John Langdon Down. It was almost 100 years later that its cause, the triplication of the 21st chromosome, was discovered by Jerome Lejeune. And in the 19th and 20th centuries, many individuals with Down syndrome were institutionalized, few with the associated medical problems were treated, and most died in infancy or early adult life. The eugenics movement, which is usually thought to have been exclusive to Nazi Germany, but which was in fact active in many different parts of the world, began programs of forced sterilization of individuals with Down syndrome and comparable degrees of disability in the first half of the 20th century. After the Second World War, many advocacy groups for Down syndrome formed and began fighting for the inclusion of people with Down syndrome into the general school system and for a greater understanding of the condition among the general population, as well as groups providing support for families with children with Down syndrome. My mother works for a center that deals with this very same thing, and they have over 20 houses all throughout this area in regular old neighborhoods where people live that have Down syndrome. They have jobs. There's a local company called Challenge Industry that helps them get jobs and the whole bit. These guys function normal lives. You know, instead of being shut out or locked away in some place or whatever, they live their lives. And that's a beautiful thing. And the people that work with everybody there are beautiful people. So today's also National Fragrance Day. People have been enjoying certain fragrances for thousands of years. The world's first recorded chemist was a person named Tiputi, a perfume maker who was mentioned on a stone tablet from the second millennia BCE in Mesopotamia. The oldest perfumery was discovered on the island of Cyprus and dates back to the Bronze Age. In the book of Exodus, the Bible also describes a certain sacred perfume consisting of liquid myrrh, fragrant cinnamon, fragrant cane, and cassia. As you can see, appreciating fragrances is no new concept. International Fragrance Day, on the other hand, was created relatively recently to give us the chance to appreciate the scents that play important roles in our lives. So, get your fragrance on, man. I used to always stop in by the subway where the Muslims were chilling out, selling their Muslim oil, and that was good stuff. It was better than perfume, better cologne, and really good, lasts all day. So, check out some Muslim oil today. Today's also National Flower Day, talking about fragrance, right? This day occurs near the beginning of spring and is a fitting day for people to give or plant flowers. Flowers are revered by people because of their beauty and smell. They are associated with romance, medicine, rituals, and religion, and are even used as a food source. There are some flower vegetables, such as broccoli, cauliflower, and artichoke, and some flowers used as spices, such as crocus, which produces saffron, cloves, and capers. Hops are used in beer, dandelion and elder are used in wine, and flowers can also be used to make herbal teas. So, you know, always nice to have fresh flowers around the house. And then you go out, you get your flowers, you bring them in, it smells nice, it looks nice, it cheers you up. Or you go outside and plant those flowers and have them all summer long. Or in the fall, you plant your bulbs, and then in the spring, they pop up too. So let's celebrate flowers today in all forms by giving flowers to someone. Today is also International Day of Forests. Trees, they produce the vast majority of the oxygen we need to survive. They provide us with much needed shade on hot days, and they're beautiful. For all of those reasons and many more, protecting trees on our planet should be a real priority for all of us, and thankfully, recently, it has. Of course, with millions of hectares of forest being chopped down every year, we still have a long way to go, but we are making progress, and the International Day of Forests is proof of that. The International Day of Forests was established on March 21st by a resolution of the United Nations General Assembly on November 28th, 2012. Since then, each year, various events celebrate and raise awareness to the importance of all types of forests and trees outside forests for the benefit of current and future generations. The state of our forests is important to us all here on Earth for many reasons. 80% of all terrestrial biodiversity lives in forests, and each year many species go extinct as a result of them being destroyed. Forests also provide food, fiber, water, and even medicines for approximately 1.6 billion people, especially the poorest people. So plant a tree for Forest Day. Go into a forest and then you could do your business for oxygen. You know, always nice to plant a tree. We used to always do that when I was young. Haven't done too much of it lately, but plant a tree for Forest Day. This is Mike Langley on the Daily Update and the Daily Calendar for Wednesday, March 21st, 2018 on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 in Passe Christiane.